you've ever been in the desert on a hot, hot day, you're sweating, you're perspiring, you're out of water, more than anything, you would love to have a glass of H2O. How much good will it do you to believe in water? Will it do you any good to believe in water on a day like that? What do you need on a day like that? You need to experience water. Belief is one thing, experience is another. I have found that many, many people, in one way or another, believe in the resurrection. Perhaps that's the way we've been raised. Perhaps it's been a story from our childhood. It's part of our religious tradition or heritage. And we, honest to goodness, believe it. The question I want to ask tonight is, so what? What's it doing for you? There's a story in John chapter 11 where Jesus actually proclaimed himself to be the resurrection and the life. The story there is about a man who actually experienced resurrection. You know, it's the story of Lazarus. I'm not going to read the whole text tonight, but I encourage you to go home and read it this Easter weekend. And let God use that story again to help you encounter the resurrected Christ. Basic storyline. Jesus is best friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, siblings. Lazarus gets very, very sick while Jesus is way up country. They send him a message, say, come back, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. The implication is he's more than just sick, he's on his way down. The text tells us that Jesus purposely stayed up country for a long time, or long enough to make sure, well, long enough until Lazarus died. He got back to Jerusalem 4 days later when he was confronted by the sisters who said, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? That's what was going through Mary's mind too. I know you could have kept him from dying. Why did you delay? Can I suggest to you tonight that one of the reasons why Jesus did not come is because he was addressing a fundamental question that people all over the world have. If God is a God of love, how can he allow suffering in the world? If God really, really loves me, why did he allow that? Why did he let Lazarus die? Why has he allowed that calamity in my life? Jesus purposely stayed up country when I was going through this tragedy, and he talks about love? Come on. I believe there's probably reasons here beyond my understanding, but one of the reasons I believe while Jesus purposely didn't come quickly, he does heal on occasions, but in this case, he let Lazarus die, is we all need to realize that sickness and disease and sin and death that are all at work within us as human beings all naturally play out their course. God has chosen not to intervene in the consequences of our choices. And many times we as parents especially will try and intervene and stop our children from experiencing the full consequences of their failure. And can I suggest to you, parents, if you do that, you're sabotaging your child's maturity. As adults, we need to, as humans, we need to learn that if I make this decision, I pay this price. And only those who learn that experience maturity. Lazarus experienced death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Was Lazarus a sinner? Help me tonight. Was Lazarus a sinner? Yeah, so he bore the natural consequences of his sin, which is to die. How many of you are sinners tonight? You don't have to answer. What's the natural consequences? What are the wages that you're earning for your sin? Let me hear it. Yeah, that's the natural consequence, and God does not intervene in that process. He allows that to work out its course. But thank God that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Let me stop there. Can you see the picture? He comes to the tomb. There's people around. Mary and Martha are on his case for not coming sooner. He sees the grief in the eyes of the people. He looks at that stone-cold tomb and imagines his best friend in there, dead. And he stops and he weeps. Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Not just our infirmities, but with the feelings of them. He grieves deeply for the pain that you're in and that I'm in. He wept. And then he says to somebody over there, take the stone away. He knew full well what he was going to do. He'd already declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and the one who lives and believes in me will never die after that. He knew what he was going to do. But he says to this guy over here, or a couple people, take the stone away. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, although he could do everything himself, he got other people involved? When you think back, if you've encountered Christ, if you've experienced his resurrection and your power in your life, who has he used in your life to move the stone? To prepare your life for him? I will never, ever forget a man by the name of Wes Andry. Now, Wes, if you're hearing this someday, I'm thanking God for you. Some of you have heard this story before. I was 10 years old. My father was an alcoholic. He ran the biggest homebrew still in southern Saskatchewan. Used to sell homebrew to the RCMP in Canada. I remember as a kid the drunken parties and the drunken brawls at our house. I remember watching my dad come home with blood all over him from the fights he was involved in. I remember the marriage going down the tubes. I didn't know the full extent, but I realized later that our house was just moments or days away from collapse. My father, having messed up his life pretty bad, took a shotgun out on the tractor out into the field and decided that was the best way to finish off. He got out there and realized he'd forgotten the bullets. Must have really been having a hard day. He figured it'd be pretty messy anyway, so he went back to the barn and strung a noose over the rafters, climbed up on the bales, tied the noose around his head, around his neck, got to the edge of the bales and was about to jump when a car drove into the yard. This almost sounds melodramatic, but it honestly happened this way. Car drove into the yard and honked the horn. And my dad said, ah, forget it. And he was going to jump again. The horn honked the second time. Dad said, well, maybe I'll go see who it is. He took off the noose, climbed down from the bales, went up to the farmyard, and it was Wes Andry, an old drinking buddy of his. We used to play in a band together. And Wes looked at my father and he said, Con, there's something wrong with you. What's wrong? Dad said, no, nothing's wrong. He said, yeah, there's fear in your eyes. What's wrong with you? And my dad said, no, nothing's wrong, really. And he said, look, Con, he says, something's happened in my life. Something's changed. He says, I'm here in the area. I'm doing a Bible school for children this summer. He says, can I take your kids to town? I'm going to have a vacation Bible school. My dad said, sure, take them. And he says, well, look, when I bring the boys home, I want to talk to you and Marion. Is that okay? And my dad said, sure. Well, that stalled my dad from going back to the barn. Wes Andry took my brother and I into town at our first Bible lesson in our life. Can't remember it. But I came home, and I didn't know this story until later. But Wes Andry spent time with my mom and dad and opened up this little book and began to tell them that Jesus loved them. Began to tell them that it didn't matter how much they messed up, that he was willing to give them a new start. It didn't matter how broken the marriage was and how much they had blown it, that God is willing to raise them from the dead and give them new life. And that day, my mom and dad got on their knees and admitted their need of God, asked Christ to come into their lives, and their lives were totally turned around. I wasn't there, right there. I didn't see it happen, but I will never forget it in my life as a kid. Last summer, we celebrated their 50th anniversary. My mom and dad are still madly in love. Their marriage was healed. All four kids are happily married. Grandkids love the Lord. The blessing of God flowed over the generations.
All because one man, Wes Andrie, was willing to move the stone.
Only Jesus can raise the dead, but sometimes he calls out to us and says, hey, will you go move the stone for that guy? I'm going to call him. I'm going to raise him. But will you move the stone? The story continues and we read about Jesus calling Lazarus. Lazarus! Can you imagine the people around?
He's dead.
Lazarus!
4 days dead.
Okay, I can't count. Lazarus!
By now he's stinking. It's going to be a bad scene.
Lazarus, come forth! Do you think anybody was prepared for what happened?
No. I don't either.
This guy walks out of the tomb. He walks out. He's got bandages all over him. He's all wrapped up for burial. But he's alive. He is alive. Raised from the dead by the one who is the resurrection and the life. Praise God. Now people will say it can't be done. He did it. It's impossible. Not with the one who to whom all things are possible. He did it. But notice next what he said. He then says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Lord bless you. Jesus said to the people around him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I mean, if Jesus just called a guy out of rock, don't you think he could have called him out of bandages? He had somebody move the stone, and he had other people unwrap the bandages. I want you to think tonight, have you had people in your life who have unwrapped the bandages in your life? Have you had anybody come along as if they were an angel and helped you? Yes, only Jesus can raise the dead. Only Jesus can start that brand new life in you that he promises to all who believe in him. But God uses some people to move the stone to get it ready for him to do his work. And after he raises us the dead, God uses other people to unwrap us. You see, there's a lot of Christians who have believed in Jesus. Oh yes, we believe in the resurrection, but we're walking around like this. Walking around all in bondages. We still got the grave clothes on us. We've still got the stench of death. We've still got the images of our old life all wrapped around us. And Jesus is saying, my dear friend, I didn't call you out of the tomb to walk around in grave clothes. I called you out of there to be free. Absolutely free. Dear friends, what is it that is still binding you? If you have trusted Christ, if you have professed belief in the resurrected living Jesus, do you still have any grave clothes around you? Old habits, old patterns, old bondages that just keep you all locked up? Oh, hear it tonight, dear friends. Just as Jesus caused somebody to come into your life and move that stone so he could speak his life into you and draw you to himself, he has others all around you that he's calling to help remove the bandages, to remove the bondages, if you'll just cooperate. I'm sure that when those people came over and started to loose Lazarus, he didn't start fighting them and kicking them and saying, no, I want to stay in these things. He said, please, cut me loose. I could probably give you all kinds of names tonight, people you've never heard of, but I could list them very, very quickly of people who have been that in my life. People who along the way have said, Dave, let me help you with this. Dave, let me give you an insight here. Dave, take a look at what God is saying here. People who have unshackled me, unloosed me, taught me how to live in the freedom that Jesus died to give me. And in my book, I can tell you the names of the one who rolled the stone away. I can tell you the names of the people who have loosed the bandages. I don't know who won the last 10 Stanley Cups, but I know the people who set this guy free. Jesus raised me from the dead, but there were people that he used in the process. And I will be forever grateful for that. It was just yesterday I got an email from somebody, a former member of our congregation, and they said, Dave, this is a Praise Seed version, but they said, Dave, we've done very, very well in the stock market this year, even with the recent crash. God's been so good to us, we feel we need to share the blessing, so can you tell us how to get money to Monte Community Church? And then he went on to say, our time in Egypt was one that God used to change our lives. God used that time to help us discover Christ and help us discover all new life in Him. And we just want to say thank you. I wrote back and obviously told him how to get the money to us. And actually, I passed it on to our treasurer because I don't know how to do that. But I couldn't help but think, as I listened to him, read his email, for anyone who has ever experienced death to life, anyone who has ever experienced that brand new life that Jesus died to give you, that is more than just a belief, but an experience. And anyone who looked back and say, oh yeah, God, you used that person and that person to get me ready for you, and you've used these people and these people to help me grow in you. When you look back, you can't help but be grateful. You can't help but say, oh Jesus, thank you for those people. And tonight, this Easter, I encourage you to do something. In addition to being grateful to God for coming to call us out of our tomb, why don't you go home tonight and jot down a couple of the names of the people that he used in the process, either before or after. Why don't you drop them an email? You don't have to send them money. But drop them an email. Give them a phone call. Send a letter. Or just, better yet, drop in on them and say, thank you. It may make their Easter. I wish I had all night to tell you about how Jesus called me out of the tomb. That will have to wait. My prayer for you this Easter is that if you're in the midst of the desert, don't just believe in water. Experience it. If your life is here tonight and it still has the grave clothes on, whether you're inside the tomb still waiting for Jesus' call, or whether you've walked out into newness of life but you're still bound by some of the shackles of the past, if that's you, dear friend, tonight, I encourage you, let this Easter be the time when you experience the full resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let Him set you free. That's why He created you. Let Him set you free like you've never been free before. May God make it real to you. God bless you.